Earth and Sky.
You're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. A new mission to Mars, called Phoenix, will build on the success of previous Mars missions in the search for Martian life. Up next is Richard Cook of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory on the Phoenix Mars mission. What is the most important thing about these missions that you described to the public, the Phoenix mission and the MSL mission, to explore Mars?
We've been exploring Mars in a robotic sense for about the last 10 years, and the idea is to sort of have a series of missions that build on both technically and scientifically on what we've done before. And the next two to come along after the very successful Spirit and Opportunity are Phoenix and then Mars Science Laboratory. And they both are really trying to answer the question of, do we, rather than just looking at the geological history of Mars and infer something about the past environment and the life, the ability of Mars to support life in the past, these will take sort of a chemical approach to analyzing it. Look for organic material, look for trace gases, look for material that would indicate that there was either biological activity on Mars in the past, or that it may even exist today. And so that's the idea with these missions, to sort of be a robot chemist, you might say. The difference between Phoenix and MSL is they really are sort of two different approaches to the question. That Phoenix is a fixed lander that's going to go quite close to the North Pole of Mars, right near the northern ice pack, and it's going to dig down and look, into the history of Mars by looking at the ice and in the subsurface, and to try to see if there's captured organic material in the ice.
What are the polar environments on Mars like? Are they similar to the polar environments here on Earth?
Yeah, I mean, they're really not that dissimilar. I mean, the we're not actually landing right on the ice pack. We're landing kind of on the area right next to it, or in the, actually not right next to it, but relatively close, where we believe there's sort of a permafrost-like environment where, the surface is maybe dust or soil, but then there will be interspersed layers of ice in a frozen, kind of in a permanent sense below the surface. One of the characteristics of the Martian environment is that the atmosphere, there's a lot of interaction between the atmosphere and the polar regions, because once a year the polar ice cap, some elements of it, sort of evaporate or sublimate, and then when it gets during the summer, and then when it gets cold, they redeposit onto the surface, and so you get these layers of dust and ice sort of on a seasonal, year-to-year basis. And that by having the ice sublimate out of the atmosphere, whatever trace gases or other material could have been carried in the atmosphere would get deposited, into these ice layers. It's like a library, where you can find the record of the past atmospheres of Mars, over tens of thousands of years, and you might be able to find signs that there was organic material in that ice.
Could you maybe talk a little bit about the MSL rover?
MSL is going to be, rather than sort of exploring in a vertical sense down below the surface, is going to drive, is going to be a rover, and it's going to attempt to look at the rock history of Mars by going to an environment where there's layered sedimentary material, and be able to drive, both across it as well as dig down into it. This rover is quite a bit larger than what we've flown before. It can grow, it's about five times the weight of Spirit and Opportunity. It's about the size of a small car. And so just to land that is a challenge, but then to be able to move it around and to get it to go up to 20 kilometers, which is as far as we want to be able to drive, is, we'd have to have a much more robust system. We also then, once we get to a rock that we want to visit, we need to be able to drill into it, take that sample, which is a very fine powder, sort it and sieve it and pass it into the instrumentation that can take a look at it, and then clean out the material, the sample and or the sampling devices, and make sure that there's no sort of cross contamination. That actual problem actually extends all the way back to the Earth. Obviously, if we're taking, if there are organic materials on Mars, they're likely to be in very, very small concentrations, because it's been hundreds of millions or billions of years potentially since they were created, and so we're looking with extreme precision, parts per billion type of resolution on our organic detection instruments, and the challenge of that is if you happen to bring along with you some organic materials accidentally from the Earth, then it's going to contaminate your instrumentation.
What do you expect life to be like on Mars?
Well, I'm certainly, as I said, if it is around, it's going to be deep within, very isolated environments. It's going to be, presumably, bacterial level or that kind of life, single cell sort of a thing. It's, obviously, there's not enough of a broad range of environments today to support life. And so it's really going to be the last remnants of something that might have developed a long time ago.
Thanks to Richard Cook, Mars Science Laboratory Project Manager with the Phoenix Mars Mission. He's at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts at our website. Visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.